we live in this swipe right culture. If I become dissatisfied or there's a break in the moment, that I just move on to the next thing. And sadly, that translates over into the community of faith at times. And this propensity is to move on is built on this kind of false promise that our culture permeates, this false promise of some type of autonomy or freedom or independence and being able to move on quickly. But in actuality, we find ourselves more distracted, less satisfied, and lonelier than ever. We have become a culture that is disconnected from God, each other, and sadly, our own souls. And we, amid all this kind of superficial connectivity of the world that we live in, we have lost a true sense of belonging. And why this is important is because we were created to connect. That from the depth of our souls that we long to belong, that God created us with a desire to live in relationship with Him and with each other, that we need connection, that we need relationship. And again, this is not something that has to be taught to you. This is an innate thing in all of us. It's a part of our DNA, our makeup, is this need to connect. When all of my children, but we'll talk about Levi since he was the most recent, when Levi was born, we didn't have to help him understand his need for other humans. It was an innate desire in him. It's an innate desire to want his mommy or to want his daddy based on what's going on. He's entering into this little bit of a phase. He's always slept like with no lights on in his room, just in the pitch black. And recently he's kind of entering that phase where he's old enough where a little bit of light helps him feel a little more comforted. And so we're kind of in that season of light or no light. And when there's no light, we turn all the lights out and go to bed. Every once in a while you'll hear, "Mommy, Daddy, I need light," or whatever it is. And you go in there because, again, it's not something we had to sit down and teach him. If you need your mommy or daddy, then you call out. No, it was an innate desire in him to connect for relationship. That comes naturally in our lives because we are created with that innate desire. And this is so reflected in our culture in every level. Every culture expression that you can think of is tied to this, whether it's movies or music or art or books, whatever it is, the way that we express ourselves in our culture is tied to this idea. And that's why there's so many movies and books and songs and expressions that have to do with relationships, have to do with connecting or not connecting or how we treat people. This is, again, a natural part of who we are, this cultural expression. And so as God followers, we recognize that sin severely injured this desire to connect to God and each other. But it is through the finished work of Jesus that we are reconciled to God, that we are brought back into a proper relationship with God and with each other. And what we've emphasized in this series is that true belonging only happens in Christ. That because of sin, that belonging only happens in Jesus. That it is in Christ that we are fully known, fully loved, and fully accepted, which is the definition of what it means to belong. That I am fully known, I'm fully loved, and I'm fully accepted based on who Jesus is. That in Christ, that we belong to God, which consequently means that we no longer belong to ourselves, that we do not belong to the world in which we live, and subsequently it means that we belong to each other. We belong to the family of God. That because I belong to God through Christ, I no longer belong to myself, I no longer belong to this world in which we live, I belong to this family of faith. And then 2 weeks ago in this kind of pivotal message in the series, we discussed two very common barriers that often stand in the way of belonging. One is the idea of worth, which has to do with shame. Am I worthy to belong? And then we talked about the idea of fear, which has to do with rejection. Will I be accepted? If I'm fully known by God, will I be loved by God? Will I be accepted by God? Will I be accepted by the family of faith? And what we said that week, and again, if you have to listen to one message in the series, listen to week two. The gospel reminds us that Jesus faced and went through both of these lies, right? That he faced both of these lies. That through the cross, the scripture says Jesus despised the shame, that he faced the rejection so that we might find our worth and our acceptance in Jesus. That in Jesus, we are able to lean into his grace and that we are able to step into this discomfort of belonging. That in Christ, we find the space to belong, fully known, fully loved, fully accepted. And then last week, we talked about this idea of what does it mean to belong to the community of faith, the global community of faith. And we considered two biblical images. We considered the idea of the river, which a river is made up of many streams that form one. And we said that's symbolized by this idea in Scripture of that we are the people of God from every nation, every tribe, every tongue that will one day gather around the throne of God and worship God for who he is, that we are the people of the living God. And then the second biblical image of this idea of a global community is the idea of a tree. That in Jesus, one seed was planted that grows into many branches. We call it the body of Christ, into many branches around the world. That there is one that is also defined by many. And so the many is defined by the one, that we are one people, and the one, that we are one family of faith, is defined by the many. That those two things work together, and both images imply that we are a part of a family, the family of faith, and that the church, both the global church and the local church, the local gathering, exists for the same purposes. We exist to worship, we exist to do the work of ministry, we exist to fellowship, and we exist to invite the world to wake up to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to end the series today with this biblical proposal. And the proposal is this, that true belonging happens most effectively within a local community of faith. We talked about the community of faith last week, the global community of faith. I called it the Big C Church. That's every follower of Jesus around the world of every generation. Today we're talking about the small C Church, the local church, the local gathering that wears a lot of different labels, right? This one wears the label City Church. But the local gathering. And again, I want to propose that true belonging happens most effectively within a local community. I would go so far as to say it's God's plan. It's God's plan. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus says, "And I tell you, you're Peter, on this rock," that rock is the confession of who Jesus is, "I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus says, I will build my church. This word church, the idea of a gathering. I will build my community of faith. I will build it, Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 28, this is the last words of Jesus to this ecclesia, to the church. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore." Because of the authority of Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God's plan for spreading the gospel was that the church, right, would go, baptize, make disciples, and then teach those disciples. There is no plan B. This is God's plan. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is God's plan. The church would be his tool to carry this on. And then we go into the entire book of Acts, and that's what happens. It is the church. It is these local gatherings of believers that live as family, that take and promote the gospel of Jesus. Now, here's the deal. If you read the book of Acts, if you read the letters that were written to local gatherings in the New Testament that Paul wrote, it was complicated. It only takes a chapter to get complicated. Like, all of this was birthed at this event that we call Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit fell, and thousands of people came to faith in Christ. And by chapters 3 and 4 and 5, it's complicated. Very complicated. How are we going to care for each other? How are we going to take care of widows and orphans? How are we going to do the things that the church is called to do? It's complicated. And by the way, if you read Paul's letters, it's complicated. Paul writes these letters to local gatherings of believers, the church of Thessalonica, the churches of Colossae, the churches of Ephesus, the churches of Philippi. All of these books that we have named, all these letters that we have named books of the Bible, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Corinthians, every one of them, it's full of complexity. Paul writing to real people in real churches saying, it's complicated, it's difficult, but it is God's plan. If everything we have stated in this series is true, listen, then a local gathering, a local church should be one of the safest places on earth. It should be one of the safest places on earth. So when I was a kid growing up in church, I for a while attended this church that had the my dad was not the pastor of this church. My dad was traveling and speaking in old school revival work, they called it. And so we would attend this local church while dad was traveling. And in that local church, the pastor's kid of that church and I were best friends. And this kid, I was a kind of a rambunctious pastor's kid. This kid made me look like a saint. And so this pastor's kid, who was constantly in trouble, I'll never forget, one Sunday, man, we couldn't have been like 4 or 5 years old, acting up in church. And one of his parents, must have been his mom, because his dad was a pastor, but came down and got him by the ear and took him out the center aisle of the church, out the back door. So dragging him out by the ear because he'd been acting up. And on his way out, right before he gets to the doors, he yells out, "Help! Help!" The church should be the safest place on earth. But if you're acting up, it may grab you by the ear and pull you out. Help! Help! But the church, right, ideally, if everything we've said about belonging is true, the church should be a place to be known and loved and accepted. It should be a place of belonging. And yet, that's not everyone's experience. That's not everyone's experience. There are people in this room who wear deep scars from your experiences at church, from what's happened to you in the name of church or in the name of religion or in the name of some religious leader. You've been hurt or you've been wounded or you've been betrayed. And this is devastating news because churches should be places of healing. Churches should be a place where the neglected, the abused, the brokenhearted, the crushed, the wounded, where we find, right, where the weary find love and kindness and hope. It should be a place that people long to be a part of, a place where people want to be. And so before I say anything, I say we confess today that churches do not always get it right. We get it wrong sometimes. Local gatherings, churches are broken because they are filled with broken and sinful saints. That's not a contradiction in Scripture, is it? All these letters I talked about Paul was writing, he starts almost every letter saying, to the saints at Corinth, to those chosen by God, to those loved by God. He prefaces all the letters with those things before he goes into how messy and complicated the church is. We are broken and sinful saints, and so churches are broken. We are people who want our way over God's way. We are people who are more concerned with our preferences than God's mission. Churches are filled with people, wait for it, just like me and just like you. Broken people who desire our ways and our preferences and want people to think like us and act like us and do things the way we prefer. Churches are broken, and so churches hurt people. And so we confess our sins, we confess our shortcomings, and we beg God in this process of being a local gathering, we beg God to make us more like Jesus and less like us. And at the same time, recognizing our brokenness and our sinfulness and confessing that and saying the church doesn't get it right, and we have blown it a lot of times in the name of church. And there are people in this room that have scars in the name of church and wounds in the name of church. In light of all that, at the same time, we invite you to take a risk, to move toward God's plan and not away from it. We invite you to belong to a local community of faith because it is in belonging that we find our place in the body of Christ, in the people of God. So, I'm going to give you four simple suggestions about belonging to a local community. Four simple practical suggestions about what does it mean to belong to a community. These are simple things. One, show up. Show up. You show up on Sundays, you show up at city groups, you show up at city, serve our city events, at our fellowships, the gatherings that we have, our dinners, our holidays, our baptisms. Show up even when you do not want to show up. Let me rephrase that. Show up especially when you don't want to show up. Because you know why? That's when you need it. It's when you need to show up. It's when you need to run to Jesus and not away from Jesus. We show up. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you, and I'm going to qualify this, what I'm about to say, with this. I am by no stretch of the imagination a legalist on these things. If you listen to me preach for any length of time, you know that about me. You know that I believe what Jesus did on the cross, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, is enough for you in every single way. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It is everything you need. There is no spiritual habit, including church attendance, that will make God love you any more or any less. There is nothing that you can do to earn his favor in any way. There is nothing on a spiritual checklist that makes you more acceptable or less acceptable to God. Everything Jesus did is enough for you. When he said it is finished, it was enough. It is enough in every way. So I do not speak to you as a legalist in any way, in any terms. You know that about me. You know I'm a grace guy, right? So what I'm about to say to you, I'm speaking to you as a shepherd of this flock. It is from my love for you and my desire for you to connect to Jesus and to connect to his people. So here it is. It is disheartening at times how few people seem to prioritize showing up. And I use the word priority because it is a priority issue. We tend to prioritize almost anything in life over showing up at our local community of faith. And you could write a list a mile long. Ball games, family events, work, sleeping in, going to the lake, you name it, and there's probably someone missing church because of it. I've often thought if we prioritized work, our job, like we prioritize showing up at church, a lot of us would probably be fired. Showing up. Here's what I want for you. I just want you to encourage you to prioritize Jesus in your schedule, in your time, to prioritize Jesus. And a lot of that is commitment to show up, to gather with your community of faith. Here's why that's important. I believe the church offers the most eternal and soul-satisfying message on earth. I believe that it will transform your life. Why would you not want to show up? The eternal, right, soul-satisfying message of the gospel that will transform our lives is more important than a paycheck. Like, why would we not want to show up? And here's my second-level admonition on this. Dads, take the lead on this. Dads, take the lead on this. Tell your family, we're going to prioritize Jesus in our home. And one way of doing that is we're going to show up at church. Did you know, and again, my dad traveled a lot when I was a kid and doing type itinerary revival work. We didn't travel with him very much, so my dad would be gone weeks at a time. Did you know there was never a single time on a Sunday morning that I woke up and I said to my mom, are we going to church today? Not a single time. You know why? My family prioritized gathering with a community of faith. A broken one, one that taught me good and bad, One that taught me a lot about ministry, positively and negatively. But every week, there was no question in my house, are we going to show up? It was an assumption, we are going to show up. And so, again, a part of belonging to a community of faith is making a commitment, we are going to show up. Now, again, I'm not being legalistic with this. I know the reality that things come up, and Ash and I need breaks of time. We go away for vacation, those things. We're not at City Church 52 Sundays a year. But I can tell you that even though I'm the dude that stands on the stage, that all of us as a community of faith should have the same value and priority about showing up as Ash and I do. Because this is your community of faith. This is your local gathering. If it's not, zone out for a minute. But I'm talking to people that call City Church their home to prioritize showing up on Sunday, showing up to a local gathering. And I am saying that to you as a shepherd who loves this flock and wants to see you grow in your faith. So here's kind of the next level, that suggestion number two, plug in. Show up, plug in. I also want to encourage you to find ways to plug into our community of faith. One of the easiest and most effective ways of doing this is by serving. Opportunities to serve in our church. You can serve in City Kids, greeting team, a hospitality team. You can serve on our Serve Our City team, which does outside events, outside of our walls events. You can serve in City Tykes. I know that's a very chosen few right there. City Tykes. That's our toddlers and little guys and girls. City Tykes, the ones that you hear sometimes back here while I'm preaching. You can serve there. Let me preface that. Some of you can serve there. City Tykes, we have a security team. We have students, city students that meet on Wednesday nights that are teenagers that you can invest in. You can serve your city group in certain ways. You can tell the group, I'm going to bring treats next week. How can I pray for you as a group? You can serve on our worship team. Preface, if you can sing and play an instrument, you can serve on our worship team. It seems like a lot of common sense, right? Like if you're going to serve, like be gifted to serve in that area. We've had that conversation before. Serving in areas. But let me say this. If you're a part of the body of Christ and your giftedness is being able to sing and play an instrument and you're not using that giftedness, you're not serving for the benefit of the body. Let Ross know that. Let Ashley know that. We have a tech team. We have a maintenance team. Did you know the grass around this church actually grows? We have to have people that come and mow the grass. And I know they would love someone to come alongside and say, hey, let me take the third week of the month when that happens. And you can have the privilege of mowing the weeds around City Church building. Did you hear me say that? Mow the weeds. Because a lot of what we have seems like that. Serve. That's a way to plug in. The more you serve, the more opportunities you will have to connect to the family of faith. Here's one that I love. Did you know you can serve our strategic partners in our community? You don't have to wait for us to say, hey, we have an event coming up with NCC. You can say, Ashley, can you get me in touch with Pamela Bolding, who runs NCC? I would love to be able to serve sometimes outside of when City Church is serving. You know, our strategic partners would love for City Church people to come along. We have people at City Church that show up at this building to help clothe our kids, to help them sort clothes, to go through the many thousands of clothes that they process. These are ways and opportunities for you to come alongside, to serve, to connect to the global community of faith through some of our strategic partners in our city. Find a way to plug in. We talked about city groups. Plug into a city group. In city groups, we promote honesty and openness and being able to encourage each other and pray for one another and support each other and love on each other. Plug in to the community of faith. Here's another one. Join. If you believe City Church is your community of faith, I invite you to become what we call a covenant partner, to make a commitment to be a part of City Church, to say, this is my church. Now, we have a covenant partner class where we talk about in depth what does it look like to be a covenant partner. We assume that you're a Jesus follower. If you want to become a covenant partner, that's kind of step one, is the believe step that we talked about a few weeks ago. So we assume that you are a follower of Jesus. But people ask me, what does a covenant partner at City Church look like? Here's kind of my, on a on a postcard, a post-it note, explanation of a covenant partner at City Church. They're growing through consistent weekend attendance. They're inviting other people to be a part of City Church. They're giving a percentage of their income and their time to God through City Church. They're using their gifts to serve inside our walls, outside of our walls. They're connected to others in a smaller group environment. Like, these are the basic things of what it means to be a covenant partner of City Church. So you say, Devin, like, how do I be a covenant partner? Simple ways. You can show up at Discover City Church next Sunday and learn more about what that means. In the very near future, we offer, usually after a Sunday morning class, a covenant partner class where we talk about, here's what it looks like to be a member at City Church and what it means to commit and what we believe and all those fundamental things. So, very easy. Put on your card, I want to join City Church, or come to Discover City Church, I want to be a part of City Church. But I would encourage you to join, to become, to take it to that next level, to make the commitment. Now, again, I'll preface this by saying, you can belong to this community of faith without being a covenant partner at City Church. Our attendance is a lot higher and bigger than our covenant partner list, and we want it to be that way. We want people to attend and to feel free to serve and to do those things, to plug in, and all the things we've talked about for City Church to be your home, to become and belong at City Church without necessarily being a covenant partner. But my follow-up question to that is, if you're going to be around this area and you're finding a local church, like, why would you not do it, right? If this is your church, plug into it. Make the commitment to say, I'm going to be a covenant partner of City Church. I'm going to make that next level commitment. So show up, plug in, join. Now, here's the last one I'll mention. Make space. Make space. Here's what that means. To gain a sense of belonging, we make space in our lives for others to belong. We seek to take the focus off of ourselves. You know what that means? Stop waiting for other people to check in on you. Stop waiting for other people to invite me over, to ask me to coffee, to initiate the conversation. Instead, I take the initiative. I take the initiative to make space in my life for other God followers, in this instance, at City Church. Here's what I have learned from experience. Remember, this is coming from an introvert, leave me alone, don't hug me person. I give some room for hugs now. You should be proud of me. This is coming from an introvert, leave me alone type personality. The more we take the initiative to cultivate community with others, the more we feel like we belong with those people. The more we take the initiative to cultivate community with others, the more we feel connected and like we belong with those people. When we take the focus off of our need for belonging and create space for others to belong, we find ourselves engaged with people who want us in their lives. This fits with one of the great paradoxes of following Jesus, doesn't it? Remember what Jesus said. If you want real life, give yours away. If you want to find yourself, Jesus said, lose yourself. Take the initiative. Make the space. So here's a question I thought about. That's a challenge for each of us. Who have I hung out with recently from City Church that I did not even know a year ago? Who have I hung out with, had a dinner with, went to lunch after church, initiated some type of connection, had coffee with? Who have I hung out with that I did not even know a year ago? Because what do we tend to do? We tend to say, hey, here's all my group. Here's my circle. Here's who I know. I've been here for 4 years. These people have been here for 4 years. We hang out together. We text. We connect. And we tend to live within those circles. And what I'm inviting you to do is to make space, to take the initiative to say, I want to belong to a community of faith that is bigger than my circle. I'm going to take the initiative to make space to begin to build the family of God in the local gathering with what we call City Church. So, I want to invite you to belong to God through Jesus, to belong to the community of faith, the global community of faith through belief, to belong to a community of faith by choosing to belong to a community of faith. See how that works? God chose me in Christ, right, to belong to Him. God chose me in Christ to belong to the global community of faith. I was welcomed into the family of God that knows no limits, boundaries of every people group, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. I was invited by God to be a part of that. And then, as I have become a part of God through Christ, as I'm a part of this local community, of this global community of faith, I am provided the opportunity as a follower of Jesus to choose to belong to a community of faith. God doesn't say, Devin, here's your group. Go hang out with them. God invites me into, through Christ, into relationship with God. He invites me into the global community of faith. And then He places us strategically where we're at to say, that's my tribe. That's my pack. That's my family. That's my community of faith that I am going to be a part of. So yesterday morning, Levi was sitting on the couch. We're going to watch some kids show for him, and what caught his attention on Netflix is that I think it's a National Geographic series about the planet, Our Planet, I think it's called. And so we're watching a few minutes of this, and I actually said while I was watching it, I'm going to use this for an illustration tomorrow. So here it is. And so we're watching, and just watching that, obviously you're just fascinated with creation itself and how everything works innately, and just the instincts and everything that animals have and fish and the world itself testifies of the magnificence of the God that we serve and the bigness of that God. But one of the things that we were watching was in this case, in the plains of Africa, that there is these, you know, hundreds of thousands of wildebeest that run the plains there. And they run in packs, large packs, thousands and thousands and thousands of wildebeest. And so lots and lots and lots of these. Well, there's a food chain, right, in God's economy in the world. And the wildebeest happens to be the prey on a lot of the predator's food list. And so this case, it was the predator was a hyena, a hyena dog. Crazy, like, you know, Lion King, lion, the hyenas. And so these hyenas are stalking out these wildebeest. And then the wildebeest realize what's going on. And so, in their pack, they start running full speed across the plains. And the mama wildebeest are protecting the young from the crazy hyenas that are trying to get in there. Did you know that the only wildebeest that's vulnerable in that moment to becoming prey is usually a calf that does what? That gets away from the pack. Mama's not there to protect him and to shield off the wildebeest. Now, I don't know how they capture all this stuff on film. It's crazy. But you see these, you know, mama wildebeest just knocking the hyenas out of the way and keeping the young on the inside. But sure enough, as those events happen and they're filmed, there's the little cubs that get away and get caught by the hyenas. And I thought in that moment, what a great illustration of what it means to run in a pack. That God allows us the opportunity to join in with a pack of Jesus followers who don't always have it right and are broken because we are broken, sinful people. But it is my experience, and I believe taught in the New Testament, that you are most vulnerable from the spiritual hyenas of this world when you get away from the pack and you try to run on your own. Devin, you don't understand how I've been wounded by the church. I probably do. I've probably been wounded as severely. Devin, you don't understand what I went through. I may not get it. But what I do know is that if you get away from the pack, you're vulnerable. You're exposed. It is in your weakest moments that the spiritual hyenas of this world will attack and seek to kill and maim and destroy you. When you're in a pack, and you're in a pack that's close-knit and tight together and doing life together and doing journey together and involved in each other's lives, and you're taking time outside of these four walls to get to know each other, invest in each other, and pray for each other and support and encourage and lift one another up. When you are in a pack, you are less prone to be, right, vulnerable and exposed and to take a fall when you have people around you. Did you know when I went through my season of falling away and the time before God had restored me back, that I had isolated myself from most of the people that spoke into my life? I was surrounded by hundreds and at times thousands of people that believed in me and listened to me and followed my leadership. But as an individual, I isolated myself. I got away from my pack. I got away from people that would speak into my life and encourage me and pray for me and lift me up. And it was when I became isolated in my spiritual journey that I became most vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. I want to encourage you guys to run in a pack. We call it a local church, a local gathering. The church is messy, but do not give up on it. It is God's plan. So here's how we end. We end this series with this important reminder about belonging. It is our number one core value at City Church. We end this series with this reminder. The church belongs, there's our word, the church belongs to who? To Jesus. It's His church. The church belongs to Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It is the church of Jesus. It is His church. Jesus died and rose again to reconcile sinners to God and to each other as the church. Here's what the New Testament says. Jesus presents the church as holy before the Father. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. It is Jesus who presents His church as holy before the Father. I'm not holy, but He is, and it's His church, and so He presents me as holy based on what He has done. It is His church. He presents the church as holy. New Testament. He is the head of the church. We say it here. Jesus is the supreme, or the senior pastor of this church. He is head of all. He is over all. He is supreme over all. Ephesians 1. He has put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head of this thing, into Christ. Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Jesus is supreme. The church belongs to Jesus. He is the head of the church. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, Jesus is the apostle who planted the church. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus is the apostle that planted His church. No church exists outside of Jesus. We can organize, but only Jesus brings a church into existence. It is His church. Matthew 16:18, we read it at the beginning. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is the builder of the church. Jesus is the sustainer of the church. Jesus built His church. Jesus keeps His church to the point that the gates of hell itself cannot stand against the church, because it is His church. He's already defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's the builder. He's the sustainer of His church. 1 Peter 5:4. He's the chief shepherd who rules His church. Then when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I am a shepherd in this local flock that we call City Church, but I am not the chief shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. We follow his leadership. We acknowledge he is the great sacrifice. He's the one that laid down his life. He's the one that goes before us. He is the chief shepherd. It is his church. And then Revelation chapter 2, he's the ultimate judge of the church. Remember, he writes this to a local church. Remember from where you've fallen. Repent. Do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you. I will come to you, Jesus says. It belongs to him. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus can shut it down. He's the ultimate judge of the church. It is his church, and if Jesus desires, he can shut the whole thing down. He is the vine. We are the branches. There is no life for the church outside of Jesus. There's lots of branches. There's lots of size branches, lots of shapes of branches, but there is only one vine. And what keeps the church alive and healthy and growing and fruitful is that we are connected to Jesus. He is the foundation upon which the church stands or falls. So we at City Church are going to make it about Jesus. Every single week, we will make it about Jesus, because the church belongs to Jesus. So show up, plug in, join, make space, belong. God chose us in Christ to belong. God chose us in him to belong to others. And we invite you to choose to belong to a church, but we want you to clearly understand, if you are choosing to belong to this church, that this church is all about Jesus. We will make Jesus famous each and every week. And so if what you need in life, if your next step in life is to become a part of a local church, know what you're getting into at City Church. We're going to make it about Jesus. He's the senior pastor. We're going to follow him. We're going to worship him. We're going to preach about him. We're going to lift him up, because we believe it is his church, and he will build it. He will grow it. He will sustain it. He will bear fruit, and we're going to stay connected to him.